We're really excited about this initiative just based on what happened. That was almost 4 years ago, that pilot. It's really got a lot of momentum. This time around, it's being funded by a foundation in Seattle, Washington, called the Kensei Foundation. With that support, we've been able to, you know, get an excellent team together. We have Tina as the assist person and someone who's there on the ground to help anyone who's having suicidal thoughts, especially with any intensity, and they feel like they need some help. She's there. We also have a counselor, Canadian certified counselor, Janet McDonald, who's been there for more sort of general support in terms of counseling. We have a member from the pilot group. He was a participant then, and this time he's going to be speaking actually tonight at our seventh session to the group. He got an awful lot out of it several years ago, and now he's sort of on the other side in a position to help. So the team is excellent, and I think what we have to offer is just what the doctor ordered, to use an expression, because with mindfulness and meditation, specifically, we're learning ways to work with our own mind and specifically with our thoughts, that typically we sort of feel like we're a victim of our thoughts and they overtake us, they overwhelm us, and we take them too seriously. We go down rabbit holes and everything. And so there are ways that we can develop a much more, let's say, mature relationship with our thoughts and thought processes, so that we have some understanding of the nature of the thoughts, and without getting caught up in the content of them, we can recognize, okay, this is a thought, and we don't have to go down that road. So it gives people more agency and less feeling that they're being trapped by these thoughts.
I'd like to bring in your expertise now, Tina. Why is it important to get together and talk about these kinds of things and find different ways to cope?
Well, it's important because it saves lives. Suicide is such a, it has such the stigma and the shame attached to it. We're working on changing that. This kind of work, and Andrew's brilliant. This is brilliant. A brilliant workshop. I can't say enough about it. It just helps to bring people out of the suicide ideation mindset into what Eckhart Tolle calls the now. Like, the rink is the present, right now. Like, let's just deal with right now. That's the problem, you know. People who are thinking about suicide are thinking about the past. They're thinking about death, and they feel very alone. Andrew puts this together, and now they're thinking about now, and quite possibly the future. They're not alone because they're engaged in a group that's working towards helping them. And it's just an all-around win-win. It's really important to do these things. And the best, one of the best parts of it is it's drug-free. You know, it's brilliant.
Andrew, what are the next steps for this project? And are there plans to expand it or at least make it more widely available?
Yeah, excellent question, Jerry Lynn. I would love to do a lot of this. I started with applied mindfulness training in mental health and addictions about 13 years ago, specifically doing groups. So this one, I developed it in a consultation and partnership with Canadian Mental Health Association several years ago. And based on what I saw then and what I'm seeing now, I would like to do as much as possible. I think this is really needed, and this approach is, I haven't found, you know, where this is being done elsewhere. It may be, could be somewhere, but we need more of this because, for one thing, it's a multi-week program, and a lot of places and organizations are not used to offering, this is an eight-week program, they're not used to offering that type of program. So if we were going to try to pack the best content we have into one session or even a half day, for example, it would not have the impact at all, because people need time to develop their familiarity and, feeling that that they're okay with doing the meditation practice. It takes a while, right? So that's why in the mindfulness training world, the 8-week time frame was developed, you know, about 30, 35 years ago or whatever, by Jon Kabat-Zinn, and it was brilliant. So there are different reasons why this is not very common, but since it's working, we need to figure out how to make it more available, definitely.